Hey, let's get the party started. This is, you're listening to Pilot's Progressive Party, and I'm Robert Pilot, and along here with Wendy Pilot, and we are like trying to like get it together here and do some things. So welcome, Wendy.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm happy to be here. It's Wednesday. It's freezing. I had a crazy commute coming back from my meeting from Plymouth today and ended up in the Target ramp. So I'll tell you about that later.
That's but a different show, I think.
I did make it home. So here we are.
Hey, we got a great show going on here, too. We have Maddie Harper DiCarlo, and that's going to be hard for me to say because I knew her when she was just Maddie Harper. And Dr. Kate Bean's on her way, so that's awesome. And then we're going to have Tim Summers, who was one of the commissioners up north and the county commissioner that voted for, you know, our immigrants. And I think I can see Kate creeping out around out there, but maybe that was the mailman. But I want to just welcome Dr. Maddie Harper DiCarlo here to Pilot's Progressive Party. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We could talk about a lot of things, and I know you're I'd like you to tell the audience what you do for a living. You know, you're a really big deal downtown here at the Historical Society, and it's really great to have you on. Tell us what you do.
Sure. I am a historian at the Minnesota Historical Society. I'm senior historian now, and I have a doctorate in ethnic studies from UC Berkeley. I'm from Leech Lake. I'm a citizen of the Boys Fort Band of Ojibwe. And I do a lot of different things at the Historical Society. But in the last year, what I've been really busy with is working on this new gallery that just opened in at the beginning of December. So our home native Minnesota.
And that's exciting. You know, I've heard a lot of great things about it. Our school, I'm a teacher at Harding High School. They went down and checked it out, and it's just a great thing for to recognize Native Americans and how long we've been here and what we've done and what we've added to the culture.
Yeah, it's exciting as the first permanent gallery that's dedicated to Native American history at the Minnesota History Center. And, you know, that's really significant because the History Center, it's supposed to be the home of Minnesota's history. And, you know, the state started out by telling mostly settler colonial history and really didn't include the stories of Native people. And so now it's finally time that we're saying Native people's stories belong here and that the Minnesota Historical Society is here to tell our stories as well.
How long did it take to pull this all together?
Well, we were on an expedited timeline. We pulled it together in just over a year, which is pretty fast for a gallery. But we did, you know, we worked with an excellent exhibit team, you know, professionals at the History Center. And Kate Bean and I were part of a four-person core team of experts. And we also made sure to talk to community members as well. So it's not just, you know, history from the perspective of historians, but we tell history from first person. And, you know, we are really elevating the voices of community members. And it does focus primarily on Ojibwe and Dakota history. And that's because, you know, those are the 11 sovereign nations that we have in Minnesota. But, you know, we do have, you know, some portions that talk about the Ho-Chunk, you know, and other indigenous people that are here today and that actually preceded the Ojibwe and the Dakota.
Right, and you saw the teardrop come to my eye because it's like, where's the Ho-Chunk? We've been here. But I want to introduce Dr. Kate Bean, and she just rolled in here, and welcome. That's awesome. That's great. I'm glad you're here. And we were nervous because, and I know Maddie can handle it, but she was nervous. But I'm glad you're here. And,
sorry, and I apologize for being late. Ten minutes behind all day.
I know, it's like that thing called Indian time.
I was late to the other two meetings we had together today.
So and last time we were on the radio. Last time we were on the radio, I was early, so I'm making up for it.
Well, that was Roy Taylor's show, or was that NPR?
Yeah, because
I was
getting Roy Taylor.
Yeah, I was getting like FOMO when I was watching you guys on both those. I'm going, what about? But we're gonna have this on Native Roots Radio too.
Oh, good.
So if we make sense, so far so good, right? But
thanks.
No, the pressure's on Kate.
Robert, I know who makes sense and who doesn't make sense.
Oh wow, three against one. Okay, I see how this is. All right, but so it took a year to pull it together, and so what's the response been? So I suppose I can talk about what the response has been on how people have liked it, because again, I was like, had FOMO. You were on Roy Taylor's show and NPR, so before mine. But tell us what kind of response we got.
Yeah, I mean, it's been overwhelmingly positive from both, you know, the press, the public, numbers and attendance. And then for me, it's been pretty informal from hearing from Native people, from school groups. You know, we had this really high turnout on opening day. But I don't know, I think Kate could maybe talk about why it's been such positive feedback, right? I mean, what makes our exhibit different?
Are you interviewing me?
She took over my show. I love it.
Former journalist. Well, I think that people have been waiting a really long time for this space. Within the History Center, we're really trying to indigenize that space and create a space for us and for our community and help elevate our community voices. It's really a foundational space, and so we can build upon it. There's no closing date. It's there. It's permanent. There's also a rotating gallery off to the side where we can take deeper dives into history, which people are really excited about. And like Maddie said, we've gotten overwhelmingly positive response from a lot of people who not only are learning something new, but also people who see themselves better represented within the institution and who are really excited about the stories of resiliency. It's not, you know, there are a lot of stories around our history that are really difficult to tell, and we need to tell those histories. And we have some of those histories talked about throughout the institution, throughout the History Center, and in the exhibit as well. But the real focus on the exhibit is on our resiliency and the ways in which our communities have continued to thrive and survive. And, you know, when we've seen young people walk through the exhibit, they're super excited, they're empowered, they feel positive. And that's been really, really awesome to see. We were recently in the Star Tribune top 10 best art of the decade. We made it there with Jim Denemy and Louise Erdrich. And
except we're more than art.
Yeah,
history.
Exactly. But it goes to show that the possibilities of this exhibit at this institution, there's a wide reach. You know, there are a lot of people in Minnesota and outside of Minnesota that are going to see it and are going to learn more about our people and who we are from our own voices and our own perspectives.
And we, in designing the exhibit, we put a lot of thought into how would people feel when they left the exhibit, mm-hmm. and especially thinking about Native people and Native kids and families, how would it leave them feeling? And so we wanted to make sure that people would feel inspired, you know, proud, that they would, you know, feel really good about our history. And, you know, it's important to tell the history of colonialism, you know, and all of the dark, tragic parts, but that's not the central focus of the exhibit. That's a context that's important to understand. What did people survive? What were they resisting? And, you know, what makes us resilient?
Yeah, I you know, when I was thinking about being resilient, I thought, geez, I'm going to sneak some Ho-Chunk stuff down there. It's going to be going on forever. But I'm here with Dr. Maddie Harper DiCarlo, and that's really hard for me to say, and Dr. Kate Bean. And I know we got another segment with you, which is awesome. And then we're going to talk to one of the commissioners up north that voted for the immigrants, and we're excited for that, too. I know you are a filmmaker. I know you do a lot of different things, too. And maybe we can talk a little bit about that, too. And also how big of a deal this last year happened in the name of a change of a lake, which we talk about, or I talk about the last few years where you know, it's really been easy to be proud to be Native, and it's not always that way. We have a lieutenant governor that's Native. We went through the Standing Rock when the seven fires went everywhere across the country, and that's why I got a chance to be on the radio, because there was all this misinformation from Standing Rock. And so there's been a lot of positive things happening along with negatives, but a lot of positive things happening within the Native community. And you two are a big deal and a big part of it. You're welcome.
Pete, oh my God.
They're stunned. Wow.
You know, Manny says me wench.
Speechless.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I do mean that. And it's exciting to see two educated Native Americans here in front of me. It's great for our children to see that. It's great. You know, we have a person running for president too, Mark Charles. And at first I thought, oh, geez, whatever. And then I heard him and I went, it's very important for our young people to see somebody that looks like them mm-hmm. able to run for president.
Yeah. We definitely need that representation. And, you know, Maddie and I, we both have worked really hard in order to be where we are professionally and personally and to achieve what we have academically. And I think that we both are also mothers of young daughters. And so being able to incorporate our own experiences into our work and our own family experiences into our work is incredibly important. You know, when we created the exhibit and I walked through with an elder recently, it was really cool because we created the exhibit. We created a central space in the middle that he could sit and rest. And we really thought carefully about things like wow. that, about how our families are going to walk through this space.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, you guys, let's do another segment here. You're listening to Pilots Progressive Party here on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950.
Hi, I'm Frank Brown, owner of the only minority-owned union print shop in Minnesota.
Do you work with political campaigns?
Yes, we have years of experience helping campaigns.
Do you print postcards? Do you also mail them out?
Yes, we do mail them out. We print everything.
Do you print lawn signs?
Yes, we print everything. Choose the only minority-owned union print shop in Minnesota for all your political campaign needs. Learn more at mpuptown.com. Minuteman Press Uptown. We print everything.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works, LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming, diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
Back in January 2018, the tax laws changed. You probably won't get a tax deduction for donating your vehicle to Auto Technical or any nonprofit, and it's going to put us out of business. Over the past 30 years, our charitable mission has been reconditioning vehicles for thousands of families. Many vehicles are reconditioned and sold to the public. We are self-supporting, but donations have dropped by more than 80%. We can hold on until November, December, but without your help, we'll be forced to close the doors. The Tubman Shelter Workforce Training Center will no longer be able to refer clients to us for free cars. Please, please help us. Call me if you have a vehicle to donate. Richard@autotech.org, 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526. Autotechnical.org.
Did you realize that Drink in the Style is available on iTunes, Google Play, and pretty much every other podcast platform out there? You can listen to past episodes of Drink in the Style, or maybe download our really cool martini glass graphic, or just listen to your favorite episode again and again. But if you do, I need to ask you for a quick favor. Hop online and give us a 5-star rating. It helps others find the show and also boosts my fragile ego. Drink in the Style. It's a great way to kill Sundays, or really, anytime at all.
Hi, this is Charlie. Dad, do I really need to say this next line?
How are you going to pay for college again?
Okay, my dad is known as Mr. Minneapolis St. Paul Matt McNeil.
Not an official title.
The Toyota Sienna is the best vehicle for winter driving. Safe on roads and it warms up fast. The Sienna is what my parents feel safe letting me drive in during these Minnesota winters.
When it gets rough on the roads, I'm glad my son is driving the safest vehicle I've ever driven myself, the Toyota Sienna. Test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Welcome back to Pilot's Progressive Party, and it is a party here. Geez, I mean, we got some Indians here, and so it's really exciting to have Dr. Maddie Harper DiCarlo.
Did I say that right?
This time.
Said it correctly.
This time. And then Dr. Kate Bean, which is easier to say than DiCarlo. Thank you so much for being on. We were talking a little serious just before we got off, and one of the things is, you know, that Natives are seeing more Native people out there, seeing more positive things happening, and also lakes are being names are being changed in lakes to recognize that, you know, we've been here and we've been here and we're not going anywhere, and we're still here.
Yeah, that's something, 2 points we really strive to get across in this gallery that I think a lot of just mainstream non-Native Minnesotans don't understand, is that Native people have been here for thousands, over 10,000 years. But not only that, is that we're here today. And so we tell historic stories, you know, it's a history center, but we also tell those stories right next to contemporary stories. So they're woven together throughout the gallery, so people don't get a sense of chronology, like this is how it was in the beginning, you know, and then this is how it is today, but that throughout time and over the years, that there's the same values, a lot of the same practices, you know, have been maintained, even though they've changed over time and we've adapted. And that's something else too, is we talk about how dynamic we are as people.
Wow. Yeah, and I think that that continuity is really important, and making sure, you know, we talk to community members, and community members were very adamant about making sure that today's people are represented. And so there's a historical context for why our people are working so incredibly hard, why we're doing the things that we do, which I think is really valuable. But there's a lot of positivity, you know, and I think we need to celebrate our wins. I think sometimes we forget to do that. And I think that it's respectful to our own elders who worked incredibly hard to celebrate those wins and to appreciate how far we've come.
Yeah, that's interesting too, because I've been talking a lot with Clyde Belcourt, and how much AIM is really in the veins of so many things here that we have no realize. And you know, from the Red Schoolhouse to Enda Young to, you know, all these connections. Yeah. And we have a deep history. And I know my uncle always talks about he was not proud being Native until AIM came out.
Yeah.
He always said he was Mexican or whatever. And when AIM, even though, you know, they were known as militants and such, he was proud to be Native American and talked about it after, you know, all the things that they did and have been doing, and you know, with Wounded Knee and the big press happening there and taking over the BIA.
Well, I think within a historical context, oftentimes our people, you know, and this goes for a lot of our tribes, with the last 150 years of where we've been hasn't been included within the historical narrative. And so, you know, where, what is our history 30 years ago? What was our history 50 years ago? You know, teaching our young people about that, that closer history is incredibly important and oftentimes gets forgotten. It's like, you know, Dakota people were removed and we vanished. No, we didn't. You know, we have led, and our families have, our parents and grandparents have led really interesting, very full lives. Let's talk about it.
Can you talk a little bit about Bede Makaska?
Sure. So,
and I said that right, you know, and I would, hearing your daughter saying it right made me feel foolish. So I worked on it and I got it.
Well, everyone can say it right after coming through the exhibit. There's a, we partner with the Bedote Learning Center in order to have an interactive piece that talks about place names in both Dakota and Ojibwe. And so we had Dakota and Ojibwe students from the Bedote Learning Center come in, and these young kids came in and read these place names for us for the interactive. And it's just wonderful to hear their voices. And one of the voices is my six-year-old daughter, and she says Bede Makaska and Bedote. And it's just so heartwarming. You know, our kids are proud to speak Dakota and Ojibwe. Our kids are super proud to be Native. And I think for us to be able to see that and be able to keep them prideful is incredibly important. And they have that opportunity that our grandparents maybe didn't have. And we don't want to lose that. You know, my kids, our family comes from Bere Makaska, from Kheato Tume, the village to the side there. Makpiawe Chashta, the leader of that community, with his wife Champa Dutowi, were my grandparents. And when our family returned here to the Twin Cities, that place was incredibly important to us and making sure that there was adequate interpretation, historical interpretation, to make sure that we were still included in decision-making at that space, you know, as living, thriving people. And so we were heavily involved in the name restoration of Bere Makaska, as well as the public art project there, where some wonderful artists, Mona Smith, Angela Two Stars, and Sandra Spieler did some great public art. So,
yeah, I don't think people realize that there was almost two generations of lost language, mm-hmm. And boarding schools and things like that. And yeah. I feel like it's a big swing to the other way with the children and the young people.
It is. You know, our kids aren't afraid to speak. Over the Christmas break, my daughter was on break from, she goes to an immersion school. And over the break, she kept translating things to me all day because she's used to being in that mode and in speaking Dakota during the day. And so it was just like, I was like really amazed. We'd be watching television and she would start translating. And it made me feel so good to see that and to hear that. And so we wanted to incorporate that into the exhibit as well, so that, you know, people had a better understanding of why we're so working so hard to do this. You know, a lot of people don't realize that we only have a couple fluent first language Dakota speakers left in the state of Minnesota. They don't understand how hard our Dakota and Ojibwe educators are working, and how our schools are struggling. And we need to support them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Before we get going, do you want to talk about, I think last time you were on here, we talked a little bit about the mounds that you were working hard with. Do you have any updates and you want to tell people here in the next 2 minutes?
Sure. Well, the last thing that happened was we came out with a report, a recommendation, and the Minnesota Historical Society has decided to keep the Grand Mound Historic Site closed to the public, so there's no public access. But it is open to Native people. There's access to Native people for educational and ceremonial purposes can go to the site. But, you know, I did outreach to over 18 Indigenous communities over a year and a half, and it was everyone reached a consensus and decided that they didn't want the public coming through. And so thankfully, you know, with my team, my Native American Initiatives team, we were able to advocate for that. And leadership at MNHS agreed that it was the right thing to do.
That's huge. That's really huge. I got a minute left with you guys. I really appreciate it. You guys are the true sense of warriors and educated and strong Indigenous women. I really appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.
All right, you're listening to Pilot's Progressive Party, and we'll be back right with Tim Summers, commissioner up north, and we'll be right back.
Back in January 2018, the tax laws changed. You probably won't get a tax deduction for donating your vehicle to Auto Technical or any nonprofit, and it's going to put us out of business. Over the past 30 years, our charitable mission has been reconditioning vehicles for thousands of families. Many vehicles are reconditioned and sold to the public. We are self-supporting, but donations have dropped by more than 80%. We can hold on until November, December, but without your help, we'll be forced to close the doors. The Tubman Shelter Workforce Training Center will no longer be able to refer clients to us for free cars. Please. Please help us. Call me if you have a vehicle to donate. Richard@autotech.org, 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526. Autotechnical.org.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine, the perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. I've been telling you about my friends at Snap Construction, who are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior construction company in the metro. Don't just take my word for it. Take a look at all their reviews online. Winter is the most cost-effective time of the year to complete your construction project. A majority of Minnesotans choose to have their work completed on their home in the summer when they should be enjoying the weather. As a result, the demand for labor in the summer is much higher. The most cost-effective way to improve or restore your home is in the winter due to the lower demand. Right now, Snap Construction is offering an additional 30% off of labor to the AM950 listeners on your next construction project between now and the end of February. Call 612-333-SNAP and mention AM950 for an additional 30% off. As always, Snap Construction stands by their work with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Don't wait to get a free estimate by calling 612-333-SNAP or find them online at snapconstruction.com. Financing options available.
Brending Electrolysis on Grand Avenue in St. Paul has been a leader in permanent hair removal for people of all skin types and backgrounds for over 30 years, celebrating diversity and priding themselves on finding the right treatment plan for each client's individual needs, regardless of race or gender. Services include electrolysis, body waxing, facials, microneedling, and permanent makeup. Book your 60-minute complimentary consultation, including a 15-minute treatment today, for beautiful, lasting results. Visit BrendingElectrolysis.com.
With your AM950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Night will be cloudy, with temperatures rising to about 24. Thursday, a chance of freezing rain, with a high of 36 and a low around 16. Friday, mostly cloudy, with a high of 19 and a low of 3, while Saturday will be sunny, with a high of 14 and a low of 8. Is estate planning still on your to-do list, or are you overdue for an update? The new year is a great time to get going on that goal. Get started with Schroman Law in St. Paul. Call 651-571-2515 or visit schromanlaw.com.
Hey, all right. Pilot's Progressive Party here. I'm Robert Pilot, and I'm along here with Wendy Pilot. And that was an awesome segment, Wen.
Yeah, they're great. So we had Dr. Kate Bean. She's the director of the Native American Initiatives. And we also had Dr. Maddie Harper DiCarlo. She's a senior historian, both very intelligent, smart women who know a lot about their heritage. And right. It's important for us to learn it.
It's great to see, you know, that we're educated, and Native Americans are educated, and we can do things like this. So right now, you know, we've been, this next section here, it's been a weird thing. We have, we have the 45, we don't like to say his name, but he's, you know, assassinating people and maybe trying to start World War III. And we also have locally things that, that are really making us scratch our heads. And, you know, up in Beltran County, they voted against allowing refuge settlements 3-2. And we have one of the county commissioners on, Tim Summers, who's a Red Lake native. And welcome to Pilot's Progressive Party, Tim.
Thank you. I'm glad to have an opportunity to join you.
Can you tell us, tell our audience what was going on there? There was an amount of people there. You'd never seen that many at a meeting.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think this has been the largest audience that I've seen at the county board meeting on any issue in my 8 years serving on the Beltrami Board of Commissioners. And I think that the topic is, in itself is a topic that you know, could be divisive, and I think there's a good effort, you know, by somebody to make sure that there was a lot of support there in opposition. So So it was a feisty, you know, contentious crowd, but we were able to conduct our business. And while I'm disappointed in the vote of the commissioners last night, I also view this as an opportunity to hold my fellow county commissioners to their word in addressing issues facing our county.
Hi, Tim. Say, this is Wendy, and I have a question for you, if you don't mind. I'm kind of interested to know what the people who are against having the refugees in their area, what are these people really concerned about? What are their issues?
You know, I from all the calls that I got in opposition, you know, I think they're like I said, you know, they made a really good effort in organizing and. And a lot of their talking points were refugees don't assimilate well. They're a burden on county services. They want to take care of our community first. So basically, you know, they feared that if we allow refugees here, their taxes will rise. And quite honestly, I just don't think that the city of Bemidji and Beltrami County are quite ready for a positive change.
Because I know that refugees do bring a lot of positive changes to areas. So I'm very disappointed to hear that people are feeling that way.
Yeah. And some of the statistics and paperwork that we were provided, you know, stated that, you know, the refugees resettlement does have a huge economic impact to regions and places that they do resettle. So I guess I didn't understand how the opposition figured that they would be a burden, because eventually many of them, you know, seek the jobs that are available that you know many of our residents probably wouldn't apply for or even consider. So I mean, Beltrami County has a 4% unemployment rate. We have a lot of jobs available. Our issue is that we have a workforce shortage, and you know, and it's typically, you know, understandable that the reason why we have a shortage is because we don't have livable wages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think a lot of it's fear too? Fear of the unknown. A lot of fear mongering going from the federal level.
Yes, and I think, you know, I think that brings up my point of Beltrami is not ready for change is because of fear. You know, a lot of people fear change because of the unknowns. But, you know, we have statistics here that say, you know, resettlement is a good thing. So I guess, you know, I don't understand, you know, the other perspective or viewpoints, and you know, I think this whole executive order, you know, is supposed to be divisive, you know,
right.
Because I believe we at the county level have a better pulse on our communities and mm-hmm. Things like that than the federal government. So, you know, it's election year, and I think they're looking for ways to, you know, rile up the base.
Right, exactly. Hey, how can we have people from all over the country listening to this and the Twin City greater area, how can we help and support you guys up there?
Well, you know, I was talking to a few of my friends today, and we're trying to figure that out as well. I mean, you know, we have a lot of issues here and Beltrami that you know, like I mentioned, that a lot of people feel that we need to take care of our own people first, and you know, we do have a huge homelessness issue, lack of housing, affordable housing. You know, so you know, I'm trying to figure out, you know, how to best use this opportunity to you know, improve things here. You know, so at this point, I'm not too sure how, you know, to ask for help, you know, because this is all new to me. I mean, this issue, you know, spread like wildfire, you know, within the past, you know, 48 hours. And quite honestly, I wasn't expecting this huge of a response.
Wow. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on Pilots Progressive Party. And also, thank you for doing what you do and supporting all people.
Yes, and, you know, and I think that's the important thing here. I mean, Minnesota, you know, has a huge population of resettlers. You know, whether it be, you know, Norwegians or you know, I mean, I always believe that Minnesota, you know, was a welcoming state. You know, because of our you know, mixed. Races and things like that. So, but you know, I guess that's not the case in Beltrami County. Even though 20% of the county is 20% of the native population is in Beltrami County, or 20% of the county is native population, and Beltrami County is surrounded by three reservations. So, I mean. You know, my biggest issue is, you know, if they want, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, they want to take care of our community first. Well, you know, this is an opportunity to put your money where your mouth is and donate to several of these issues and causes. You know, if you really want to take care of your own people.
And Tim, I kind of understand that there isn't like hundreds of refugees coming in, isn't it? Just like 26 people or a few families or wasn't it?
Yeah, well, and see, the thing is, Beltrami County hasn't had a single refugee application or resettlement in the last 5 years. So I guess that's why I was kind of baffled and, you know, didn't understand why there was so much opposition. Because if I understand, you know, the refugee resettlement, they usually go to where the population is already established, where they have family and things like that. So, I mean, I wasn't anticipating a huge influx. So I think, you know, this was, you know, all based on fear.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again for being with us, and thank you again for what you do. This was Tim Summers, Beltrami County Commissioner, and also Red Lake Native American. And thank you so much for being on. And we'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Pilots Progressive Party here on AM 950. The Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
If you have a painting project, you should consider hiring Nick Slavic Painting and Restoration Company. We've been awarded nationally for craftsmanship, are highly professional, responsive, and fairly priced. If you feel overwhelmed by starting a painting project, we make it easy from start to finish. We move furniture, vacuum, sweep, dust, and put your home back the way we found it. There is a difference. Our professionalism sets us apart. Visit NICKSLAVIK.com. That's NickSlavic.com to learn more.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at MinnesotaAtheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
Are you in need of legal advice or information? The Hennepin and Ramsey County Bar Associations have a long history of assisting people with legal needs, finding solutions, and connect with the right attorney. Now their services are combined into a new and enhanced program, the Minnesota Lawyer Referral and Information Service. Minnesota Lawyer Referral proudly carries the seal of recognition from the American Bar Association. Those guidelines ensure that you're connecting with a vetted, qualified attorney. Professional referral counselors help you reduce the stress of finding an attorney. They can help you narrow down your legal needs and connect you to vetted attorneys practicing in a wide variety of areas, including civil litigation, debt collection remedies, landlord-tenant disputes, and more. Whether you're an individual or a small or large business, Minnesota Lawyer Referral can help. For all your legal needs, reach out to the newly merged and expanded Minnesota Lawyer Referral and Information Service at 612-752-6699 or mnlawyerreferral.org.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us this week for Minnesota Matters, a news, entertainment, and sports show covering everything that matters in the North Star State. Tune us in right here or at your convenience at minnesotanewsnetwork.com.
Listen to Minnesota Matters every weekend, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Northeast Minneapolis is known for its creativity, and you'll know exactly why when you eat at Hazel's Northeast. Their creatively prepared comfort food will have you coming back week after week. Breakfasts like biscuits and gravy, granola pancakes, and brisket hash. For lunch, homemade soup and one of the best Reubens in town. And don't miss the daily risotto or Chef Ali's ever-changing dinner specials. Come on in, bring the whole family. Hazel's Northeast delivers real good food. Family owned at 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis.
Hey. This is Pilot's Progressive Party here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. And, you know, we just want to throw it out there, too. If you want to call in and say, hey, the number is 952-946-6205. That's the call-in number, 952-946-6205. Wendy, what a wild show.
Yeah, it was awesome. I really like what Tim had to say. And article after article that I'm bringing up here and looking at is a positive to why accepting refugees is a win-win formula. And the list goes on. You know, they bring up education and they bring jobs. And it says here that most refugees, 15%, while they're only 15% of the population, they bring new businesses to the area. They're entrepreneurs.
Right.
And they come here and they bring new opportunities and jobs here also. And a lot of times they take the jobs that people who live here and are native don't really want. So they're not really coming here to take our jobs away. And
right. Mm-hmm. What about the two doctors?
It's
amazing.
Awesome. Yeah.
Amazing. We see them around a town.
Fantastic.
But it's
Kate Beam and Dr. Maddie Harper. And they both have their doctorate in historian studies, Native American historian studies. And they have lots and lots of information about what's happening in the Native American, what the history is.
Right.
Yeah. I really like that the exhibit that's at the
Minnesota Historical Society.
Yep. Is very positive, and they're not really concentrating on, you know, when the Indians were, the Native Americans were slaughtered and, you know, the negative effects, but they really want to focus on the positive and what they're doing today and the language and how they're continuing their history and they're bringing up their children in the Native way. And
Right. As long as I've been alive, and I think even the turn of the 19th or the 20th century,
you've been around for a long time.
There's Mounds Park in St. Paul, and I've always only known it as four mounds.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know the history, which I have found out, there were hundreds and hundreds of mounds there, and they all got flattened and whatever. And just to throw it out there, Ho-Chunks are mound makers too. So we had a lot to do with those mounds too here in Minnesota.
And it wasn't too long ago that weren't they wanting to build a water park on the mounds? And there was a big controversy about that and a big petition and people protesting. And they did finally say they were not going to build the water park on these mounds.
Right. It's interesting you bring that up because what the issue was that, excuse me, I just said there were hundreds and hundreds of mounds. So everywhere in that park is sacred.
Yeah.
Mounds Park we're talking about in St. Paul. And so they wanted to have like was it a water park or was it a splash park is what they called it.
Yeah, splash park.
It's where kids go, you know, and it's just like, you know, let's take care of that park before we start adding things on that are not good or.
It's a national treasure and it should be treated that way and kept that way.
It's a graveyard.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. And so, you know, we don't want to go to Fort Snelling and pound on and have a water park there.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Or you don't want to go to the graveyard where your grandma is buried and change that into a splash park. It's the same thing.
So I know you're involved with and if anybody listens to our other show, you're heavily involved in HSUS.
The Humane Society of the United States. I'm a volunteer state council member and I work on animal issues at the state level.
Wow, I usually say that, but you wrote that, so that's good that you know that. But you got things coming up, and one of the things, it might be too early to talk about this, but one of the things I'm always proud of is that you do the Capitol thing.
Yeah, it's called Humane Lobby Day, and once a year, the Humane Society of the United States, along with other animal organizations, get together, and we have a one day where you can come. We can register you and we will set an appointment so that you could meet with your legislatures and we try to talk with them about passing humane bills for animals in Minnesota. So it's an awesome thing. Last year, I think we had about 120 people there. And I get to speak to my senator, Dick Cohen. We talked to him, and I talked to Dave Pinto. He's my representative also. And depending on which area you live in, you'll have a different senator and representative who represents your area. And we bring humane laws. Like, we've been trying to pass getting gas chambers banned in shelters. Now, at this point, we don't really know if any shelters, animal shelters, have gas chambers at this time in Minnesota, but we want it to be banned so that none will appear.
Right?
So gas chambers is when animals are euthanized and they put the dogs and cats in the gas chamber, and it's a very scary, horrific way for animals to die. If we were going to put animals to sleep, we would like to do humane euthanasia, which is injection.
Right, and you're holding, people can see us on Facebook Live, you're holding two of our shelter dogs.
Yeah, on my lap. Gracie's kind of getting a little brave and she wants to jump off, but caring about the animals is important to me, and all animals. So I care about all animals, and depending on how much time I have, Robert, I can just go on and on. So.
But you know, we're talking about the Australia and the horrific billions of animals are dying.
Well, they did just confirm that is 1 billion animals and wildlife have died. I think last week when I was talking, they were saying 500 million, but now they're saying it's 1 billion. I also read an article that in Australia they have. In the bush where not many people live, they have these watering holes, and there's these camels that live in Australia. I didn't even know what camels were in Australia. But anyway, they plan on killing up to 10,000 of these camels because the camels are very thirsty and they're drinking all their water. And the people need the water and the livestock needs the water and and they don't care about the camels. So
what?
Yeah, so I'm having a really hard time with this Australia, the more that I read about it, because they care about the kangaroos and they care about the koala bears, but they can kill 10,000 camels, and not anybody's really talking about the farmed animals that are dying, cows and sheep. And another thing that I'd like to bring up is that Australia has one of the largest live export trades in the world. So what happens is it's mostly cows and sheep, and they load these big ships with thousands of these animals on them, and they transport them to different ports in the world where these animals are slaughtered. And sometimes these ships are out to sea for 50 days in the heat, and the animals are deprived of food and water, and it's a horrific time for these animals to be transported on ships, tightly packed, rocking back and forth to go to a different country to then be slaughtered. A lot of the animals, too, are pregnant during the transport, and they're giving birth during the transport. Some of the animals are used to certain food on land, and then they're put into these ships and given, like, pellet food where they get really sick. There were veterinarians who wrote videotaped what was happening to these animals, and Australia has been under fire about this live export trade for a really long time. So,
wow,
that's, sure, care about the koalas and the kangaroos, but we need to care about all the animals.
We need the whole story, and I thank you. Thank you again for giving us the whole story. So this was a great show, and I want to, you know, thank again Dr. Maddie Harper DiCarlo and Dr. Kate Bean for being here, and also Tim Summers, who's a Beltrami County Commissioner, thanks for that. And he's also a Red Lake native. And Wendy, thank you for helping and being a big part of this show and all the shows that we do here. And, you know, this is our third year being on AM 950, and we're just really blessed to have great guests and have people speak their truth over AM 950.
Absolutely. We're all about bringing awareness.
That's right. So I want to thank Eric for being the producer back at the mothership. We're here at on Jefferson Avenue in St. Paul doing it out of our house. And we're really excited for this whole season of radio to happen. And so I just want to say Pini Gigi, thank you to everyone that is listening to us and watching us on Facebook Live and watching and listening to us on TuneIn and all those great things. So you've been listening to Pilots Progressive Party, and we are excited to be here.